We are back at it. Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. I am Carson Cunningham. I am back from Houston. I made the long journey up I-45 to I-35, and you hit Dallas, and you're like, oh, we're almost, oh, no, we still got another 3 hours. But I have made it home. Thunder Rocket series is kind of taking me out of pocket a little bit. I had to miss a podcast, which I don't like to do, but I'm back. I'm well-rested. Kyle, how are you?
I'm good. Did you wave at me as you drove up? I guess you didn't drive past my house, but fairly close in Dallas.
I went to Kingwood High School. Is that where you went to high school?
Yeah, I'm sure there's all sorts of memorials there documenting my time at Kingwood High School.
Isn't that in Houston?
It is. Okay. Wait, did you go there?
No, I'm kidding. I was in Houston, though.
Yeah.
But
that's where I went to high school. And
I was closer to your high school than Richardson, where you currently live. I'll put it that way.
That's true. That is true. No, I don't know if you saw this, but I saw that Bill Simmons recently reached his 100 millionth download for his new podcast. So we're right on his heels, I think. I think we're gonna catch him at some point.
Are we inching closer to 100 mil?
I think inching, millimetering is probably the more proper term.
We're running at the rate of a Big Ten wide receiver towards 100 million downloads.
Oh, you and your Big Ten love. No, you've had all sorts of things on your hands with NBA playoffs. I like the NBA playoffs. I think they're too long. I think they could. I don't know. I don't know if they need to cut down the regular season or make the first round five games again or cut out a couple teams, something. It's just, it seems like it lasts forever. And it's like,
yeah,
it gets so dramatic, like four games into the first round, you're like, wait, we've got 2 months left. Like we need to calm down.
Yeah. And they do that on purpose. Like when I was in Houston, they played on Sunday and didn't play again until Wednesday. There was no need for 2 days off. Like that was a joke. Yeah. And so they like to drag it out. They like to make it as long as possible. They want to stretch all the way till mid-June for money purposes. There's nothing else going on. They can just dominate for the last few months of spring and into summer. So it's long, and I don't think people understand how like crazy it is for like the media, which they don't care, obviously. But from what I do, it's just like I don't even know what days they are. I don't know if it's Saturday, Friday, Tuesday. I just know if it's game day or off day.
Right.
And they shoot around every single day. And most of the time it's in the late morning, very early afternoon. So you got to go cover that. It is just a massive humanity with cameras, and just you're just fighting for a spot, and it's just luck of the draw, really, if you get in the right position to interview Russell or whomever. And then you go back, and for us, you know, we're live at 5, 6, and 10, so we got to put everything together, go live at 5 and 6, and then kind of wait around till 10, and then wake up the next day, go to shoot around again, and then do it all over again. And then, you know, if it's game day, obviously you go to the game and cover all that. But it's an everyday grind, even if they're not playing games. But I have a couple fun stories for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I want to hear them. Are they Russell Westbrook related?
Yeah, I like Russell. He's obviously the king of the prairie, as he's called by Stephen Adams here in Oklahoma. Everyone loves him, but he's a pain to deal with sometimes, and he knows it, and he likes to do it. He's been that way. To his credit, he's been that way since he was a rookie.
He's consistently a pain.
Yeah, like he hasn't changed a bit. He's still the same guy as far as dealing with the media. I'm not sure why he's like this, but just a few stories. The first day, the first shoot around in Houston, we interviewed Billy Donovan, we interviewed Victor Oladipo, and so like literally everyone is waiting for Russell, and Russell knows he has to talk. It's playoff rules; you got to talk every day if you're requested. So it's like 30 media members just kind of standing at midcourt while Russell's off to the side, sitting down with Victor Oladipo, and he's got his headphones in, and he's just singing, dancing, just in his chair. He knows we're waiting for him. And then Andre Robertson kind of like is looking around and is like, do y'all need Russ? As if, and the reason he asked that out loud was so Russ would get up and go do the interview so they could leave. And then we're still standing there. McDermott's to my right, Doug McDermott. And he's like, why are we still here? Taj Gibson's like, man, let's get out of here. What are we doing? So everyone's like getting antsy. And then I swear, like 5 minutes later, we're still standing there. Everyone is just staring at Russell, including Billy Donovan and Sam Presti. Like the whole gym is looking at Russell, just waiting for him to get up and saunter over to us.
Oh my gosh.
And speak for like a, you know, he'll talk for like a minute. Like he's not going to say anything. So he finally gets up. And, you know, when he starts walking towards us, you know, everyone starts inching forward to make sure they get a good spot or whatever. And Russell goes, no, stop right there. No, stop. He holds his hand out. He goes, you just stop right there. And so everyone kind of just stops. And so then Russell walks over to Doug, gives him a high five. Like, said, let's go, man. Let's go. And high fives Taj or whomever and says, let's go. They ain't going anywhere. And so everyone starts to leave the gym. And then Russell turns around and does the interview, or he starts to. And, you know, you've seen those shots of like Billy Donovan where people are like around all the way around him.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Completely surrounding him. Russell doesn't like that. Russell, as soon as someone tries to go behind him, goes, no, I don't want anyone behind me. You got to stay right in front of me. And because Russell, it's true. Russell doesn't like to be, I think he's like claustrophobic. He doesn't like to be surrounded like that in media situations. Even when they do, I think the national anthems, he doesn't stand shoulder to shoulder with his teammate. He kind of steps a step back. Just, I don't think he likes being crowded. He might be a little claustrophobic, but eventually he stood there and did the interview. So that was the first day. And
it seems like just like pulling teeth, like just do the interview, bro. Like just get it. I mean, does he, what part of that do you think he enjoys? Is it he doesn't seem like an attention whore. He doesn't seem like he's out for attention. Does he like the control? Like what part of that does he revel in the most?
Probably the control, I guess. And the thing is, like, when he first started getting MVP buzz at the beginning of the year, Brian Keating made a great point. He said, you know, Russell has treated the media like dirt, and that's not going to help him as far as like getting votes and stuff. And this year, Russell's been like on his best behavior. He's been great. Like he turned over a new leaf, I would say. You know, he still has his viral moments where he'll pop off some days, not in the mood, but he's been very cordial, very nice, and very accommodating, and for him.
Right.
And then, that practice we were at, the MVP votes were in. he didn't care what happened. So the votes are being tabulated. So what does he care? So that was the first time I'd ever seen him like frustrated. Like the team was frustrated at that point. Like media, we didn't have anywhere to be. We're stuck in Houston. We're in the University of Houston's practice gym. It's like 1 o'clock. We got all day. Like we'll stand here if we have to. We don't care.
Right.
Is it annoying? Sure. But I don't care.
Yeah.
Plus the interview's going to last like a minute with this Russell. But so he did that, and that was fine. And then, the next day, the next shoot around we covered was even more packed, more people, which shocked me because the Rockets didn't practice that first day I was telling you about. So like people have to pick which practice they go to. And then, we interview Billy. It's fine. And then we're waiting on Russell. And we all did Billy against this wall so people can't surround him, which it helps us. We know where they're going to stand.
Right.
And I'm standing there. And I'm in a good spot. I'm like, man, there's like a 0% chance Russell is going to come stand in this place that we want him to. And sure enough, he walks up, sees the horde aimed at the wall, and just stops and says, this is where I'm doing it. So then everyone has to like run over to him. I ended up getting a really good spot next, just off to his left, by sheer luck. But he's done that before. He did that a few years ago in the playoffs. So I was kind of waiting on that move, and he did it again. And
it's like them opening up the gate before an Oklahoma State football game and the media running through the gate.
Yeah, basically. And that's when he did his rant again about the basketball, when he cussed a little bit. Like, you guys took this as a joke. This is a real thing. And then he actually hit Barry Trammell with the basketball on accident. Did you hear that?
I did not.
Barry wrote about it.
Barry probably wrote like 5,000 words about that moment.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, he didn't mean to, but he fumbled the ball and went over and hit Barry. But no, it was fine. The games were interesting. The first one was a blowout. Second one was a great game. But no, I can't believe they play. Like, I needed those 2 days off in Houston, like today. Like, I drove back yesterday and just had a bear of a drive and
it's retired.
But it's brutal. But no, it's in previous years, how I'm feeling right now, it's it's a very endless feeling because you know they're playing till like June because they have Kevin. You know, it's a little different feel. So I'm kind of enjoying the moment more in the first round than I was, you know, when they were just beating up on Dallas last year.
I've got two questions for you, and you obviously, I told you this the other day. I don't know how you follow all of these sports at one time. Your knowledge about Thunder, OU, you know, basketball and football, Oklahoma State basketball and football, as well as, and I mean, it's crazy. I don't know how you keep up with it all, but I wanted to ask you two things about the Thunder. We're going to talk a bunch about Oklahoma State football, but on the Thunder and specifically with Westbrook, the first question is who in this series is the third best player? Obviously Westbrook and James Harden are the top two, but who in your opinion is the third best guy?
Who's played like the third best, or who just overall would, like, if they had a draft, would go third?
Yeah, I guess if they had a draft, like, just who if you're starting a team and you can only draft players from the Thunder or Rockets that are not Harden and Westbrook, who would you take?
Man, that's a good question. Well, before the season, I definitely would have said Steven Adams, but he's been a big disappointment. You know, they just gave him $100 million. Mm-hmm. Or he's gonna, that contract kicks in this summer. He's gonna get $100 million. That's a good question because the Rockets have a lot of good players, and I would have said Victor Oladipo at some point too. But man, he's shot 19%. So I gotta go with someone on the Rockets, right? Let's go with. I was going to say Ryan Anderson, but he's 0 for like 13.
See, and you're kind of proving my point here. And I think my point is, like, everybody gets really worked up about Westbrook having to carry a team and, you know, dragging a bunch of stiffs to the playoffs and, you know, taking on the Rockets. And it's like, James Harden is kind of doing the same thing, and they're kind of taking it to the Thunder right now. And I don't know if you agree with that. I'm interested to hear your opinion. That's just from a very, as Gundy would say, from an outsider's, what does he say? An outsider's opinion, an outsider's perspective.
An outsider looking in.
An outsider looking in. I feel like the narrative is a little bit, I don't know. It feels a little bit easy to kind of decorate Westbrook as this conquering hero that is dragging just a terrible team trying to drag a terrible team into the second round.
Well, I agree and I disagree. I agree in that the disparity, as far as just the, if you go player by player, is not that high. There's two big differences.
Okay.
The first one is that the guys on the Rockets can put the round sphere known as a basketball through the round hoop. The Thunder don't have anybody who can create or make a basket on their own.
Yeah.
That is a huge difference. And the second biggest difference is the team is built around James Harden. It fits. All the pieces fit together. They were able to run certain things that are just deadly.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of shooters surrounding Harden, so it's easy for Harden just to make layups. And he's made a ton of layups. He's good at that, obviously, but he has the floor spacing because you have to respect a Ryan Anderson, a Trevor Ariza. You go on down the list. Lou Williams coming off the bench scoring 21. Like, the pieces fit, and they actually have guys who can shoot. The Thunder have no shooting, and that's why you see when Russell goes off the floor, it's not because the guys that are on his team are terrible. They just aren't capable of creating and making their own shots, and I think that's where you see the big disparity between the two rosters.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And to be fair to the Thunder, they've not had – time to build around Westbrook because this is the first season that he's been the center, like the known centerpiece. So you always had Durant or, you know, whoever. I feel like there's like this little tiny like subsection of people online that have kind of turned on Westbrook a little bit. And I think part of it is like, it feels like sometimes he just likes to be like the guy and just does a bad job of involving his teammates. And again, you watch way more Thunder than I do. And I don't know if that's actually true, but it does sort of feel like that a little bit. And I don't know. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, just who you think should be the MVP and if you think that the Thunder could actually get more out of Westbrook from a team perspective than he's providing.
Well, I think you saw in game two why Russell's the MVP. The Rockets gained ground and gained the lead without Harden on the floor. Yeah. When Russell goes off the floor, boom, 12 point lead is gone, like in a heartbeat. That to me, I think, is a good indicator why I think Russell should be the MVP. And if you do something for, hadn't been done in 55 years, you mentioned it. Kevin literally left in the middle of the night, and there were no free agents left, nothing. And somehow, like when top five players in the league leave your franchise, you go to the lottery. You don't go to the sixth seed. And so that I think it's unarguable to me that Russell should be the MVP. Now Harden's had a great year. I get all that, but what you saw the other night too, I think yes, Russell took 18 shots in the fourth quarter. That. And most of the time down the floor, he wasn't passing. Like, yes, you can't do that. Like, that was too much. But I do understand his thinking at the time, because I was there, and I saw Russell's reaction when that horrible lineup that Billy Donovan threw out there with Samaj Kristen and Kyle Singler and Domantas Sabonis, that you weren't even, like, I saw that lineup, like, you're not even expecting them to score a point in, like, 10 minutes. And I don't know how Billy Donovan expected them to maintain the lead, but you saw Russell's reaction when they called timeout. He was fuming and trying to put himself back in the game. So I do get why he did that as far as just going it alone. Because to be honest, it's worked out, Kyle. There's been games this year where Russell's gone on 15-0 runs, 13-0 runs to end games. And that was lauded at the time. And when the shots don't go in, it's not nearly as cool. But yeah, it was too much. And you saw in the first half, he involved his teammates just fine.
Yeah.
He had 10 assists in the first half. So they just need to run more offense with him. But that's, you know, the blame falls on, you know, obviously the whole team. But not only did Russell take 18 shots, Kyle, he had his hands on his, he must have been tired, I guess. I don't think Russell ever gets tired, but he has his hands on his knees in the paint, not guarding Patrick Beverley. Boom, Patrick Beverley gets the ball with no one within 15 feet, and he hits the dagger, and that's the game. You got to guard your guy. Like, yeah. So I don't know if that was a case of being tired or Russell just not caring to guard his guy, but that was a huge moment. And I do think they'll play better at home now these next two games. They've been kind of like a college basketball team this year, Kyle, and that the home record versus road record, I think, was the biggest disparity in the NBA. So those role players that just look like dogs in Houston will play well, I think.
Not the good kind of dogs either.
Yeah.
We need dogs. What does that coach say? We don't need
cats. I want dogs.
I don't know.
There are
times it feels a little, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, it feels a little Marcus Smartish with Westbrook, to where you're like, okay, we get it. Like you could galvanize the team better than you are. But I mean I don't know. I think Westbrook should be the MVP too. I think it's for a little bit different reason. And my reason is, like, and people have talked about this, but if you look back on this season in 25 years or 50 years or whatever, like there's one thing you're going to remember, the regular season anyway. We haven't seen what plays out in the playoffs, but it's Russell Westbrook every night. Everybody was so fired up to see what Russell Westbrook would do. And the triple double, like, he just had the most memorable historic season, and it just feels, I think you might have tweeted this, but it feels a little like you're kind of overthinking it. Like if you're not voting for him, like I and there are reasons to not vote for him, obviously, and to vote for Kawhi or LeBron or James Harden or whatever. But it does feel like you're just playing contrarian for the sake of playing contrarian if you're not voting for Russell Westbrook for MVP.
If you're voting for Kawhi, you're just trying to show everyone how smart you are.
Well, that's what
you crunch the numbers.
Didn't Zach Lowe vote for Kawhi?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't he like the, I mean, don't we care what he says?
He's a third, Zach Lowe's incredible. I value his opinion, but I think I do agree with you that you're overthinking it if you're voting for, like, 50 years from now, we're going to go, man, you remember when James Harden led the Rockets to the 3 seed? Man, that was awesome. Oh, yeah. I think, didn't Westbrook have a triple double that year? He didn't win MVP. Are you kidding me? Like, you can already hear the conversation. So I'm with you. And I do think, like, most people I've seen have a vote that have written about it, most of them have picked Russell. So I think he's going
to
win it.
Yeah. I think he is too. Okay, we need to talk some Oklahoma State football, unless you have any other Thunder stuff to talk about.
No, I'm good.
Okay, we need to do a toast. So get your beer ready and your guy you're toasting, or gal. Yeah. It's time for the Coop Ale Works Toast of the Week. Coop Ale Works bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the Flagship F5 IPA, the Bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party tailgate or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. Before we toast, who do you think is the most likely candidate on the Thunder roster that you're like, that guy might drink Coop Ale Works, or he probably does?
Nick Collison. For sure. I've seen Nick out and about a few times in the city, and he seems like a guy who would drink local. So yeah. I'll go Nick Collison. He's good. I would like to have a beer with Nick Collison now that we're talking about it. That'd be fun.
Maybe Coop can set that up. Maybe he can be on the podcast. Okay, do you have somebody that you're toasting, or would you like me?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Go. Let's do it.
I'd like to crack a Flagship F5. For the number 5 being key for the 5th wide receiver, he may be 5th, he might be 2nd or 3rd now, Chris Lacy.
Yeah, that's
senior,
a good one.
Had an awesome spring game. I saw the highlights. It's remarkable how loaded OSU is at receiver, and it's going to be hard to keep Chris Lacy off the field. He's a senior. You know, Gundy likes his seniors who put in the work. But, I mean, you look around, you got Marcel Aitman standing over there. Odell Beckham Rice, Tyron Johnson over there. Haven't even gotten to James Washington, Jalen McCleskey. Like, I love Chris Lacy. He's awesome. But is he going to play? Is he the 5th receiver? So I want to toast one to him. He had an awesome spring game.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one. Chris Lacy is, again, I wish there were trades in college football. There's so many different people I want to toast. But I guess I'm going to go with Mike Gundy. It's so vanilla, but I'm going to toast a Horny Toad Blonde to Mike Gundy for that's I think that's the first time we haven't toasted the Vader to him. But Horny Toad Blonde, yeah. To Mike Gundy for ordering Alamo Bowl rings that had an 11-2 record in lieu of the actual record that Oklahoma State had last year, which was 10-3. And I understand why people think it's silly or don't like it. First of all, I don't care about Alamo Bowl rings. Like, I think just the fact that they don't really matter anyway, other than to commemorate a season, makes it kind of gives you the leeway to have some fun with them, which is what they did. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I don't know if he's getting chastised nationally, but he shouldn't be, because it's a great move, and he is in full, you know, gives no you know what's about anything right now, and I love it. I'm fired up. I'm excited about he might be on vacation in like Reno for like a month this summer. Who knows what he's gonna do.
But Gundy, yeah, Badger don't care.
I loved it. We need a Gundy Badger shirt. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised, Kyle, on the ring, you know, had 11-2 on one side. Surprised on the other side didn't have like a silhouette of Gundy with his shirt off laying down on the field on the other side, just to commemorate, just kind of a reminder why they're 11-2, you know?
Yes.
Just had I take my shirt off, lay down on the field, like that was just going to, like, what, like, have you ever thought, like, if he actually did that, like, how the referees would react?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they call time out? Do they call security to escort him from the field? we never had a coach take his shirt off and lay down on the midfield logo.
Do you think that would have been a more viral? This is hard because the rant was kind of pre-Twitter and all that stuff, but do you think that would have been a more viral moment than the 2007 rant?
I don't think so, because that's just so quotable. I feel like, you know, Gundy taking his shirt off and laying down, that'd be on SportsCenter. It would make the rounds for like a week, and then we'd all forget about it. But the rant is like timeless.
I had to look up the rant for something that I was right. Somebody said something that was in the rant, and I had to make sure I was getting the quote right. They didn't mean to. It was unintentional. And every time I look it up, I think about your impression of Gundy.
Yeah. It came up recently in the Slack chat, didn't it? And the part that stuck out to me was like, hope your kid drops pass in a pickup game. gets made fun of because he's fat. Like, that is such a bizarre moment in the rant. I kind of forgotten about that piece. But, like you and I have talked about it before, like, every time you watch it, a new part stands out, stands alone. But that rant will be on Gundy's epitaph. It will be on his tombstone. It will be in his obituary. Like, that is how he is going down with that. That's following him everywhere.
Yeah, and it's become, like, it used to be sort of a bullet point for, like, making fun of him or something. And now it's become just, like, part of the lore. Like, he's done so many things thereafter. The Bieber thing, wearing the singlet, the mall. I mean, just so many different things that it's just become part of, like, the Gundy folklore, I feel like.
Well, and at first when the rant happened, like, everyone was like, oh, my gosh, what a jerk Mike Gundy is. How could he yell at the media like that? Then it turned into, like, a recruiting mech, like, parents loved it because they defended his player, and, like, now it's viewed, like, positively.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Jenny Carlson still covers OSU football, so all is right in the world. So no one was hurt, and now it's just a funny moment. And Kyle, in its heyday, when the rant was still in its heyday, I feel like it's not anymore, but I could, like, quote it and, like, say different words in the quotes, but just say it in the same tone that Gundy had, and my friends would, like, recognize it.
I wish I was running this blog back then, because that would have been the most viewed story of all time forever. Like, it would have never been surpassed.
Well, the YouTube clip, this was like the first year or so, I think, of YouTube.
Yeah.
The actual clip you can watch online is from KOCO 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It's got 3.5 million views.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's insane.
I need to find the hard copy someday at my station.
Okay, I did want to ask you about just the spring game, just your thoughts on, I don't know, I talked about this with Hayden on Tuesday, but spring games are so just, you don't want to overreact either way. I thought he said it well. We didn't really learn anything new, but was there anything that stood out to you and maybe excited you going into the summer and into fall camp?
Well, I was driving to Houston when it happened, and for some reason, they weren't even, like, streaming the radio broadcast for some.
Yeah, that was
like, OSU is going to be a top 10 team, and you couldn't even, like, access the spring game. That to me was just so small time. But what stands out, I thought, obviously the receivers, just the fact Chris Lacy's having such a big game, and you look at all the roster, like I mentioned earlier. Jeff Carr, is he going to play some viable minutes for him at running back? I think that was interesting. The running back situation, obviously Justice Hill's the guy and he's sitting out spring, but you know, the LD Brown kid can like squat clean, like 380 pounds. Like, he's interesting at running back.
Yeah.
Obviously Jeff Carr is probably his turn to step up. But no, the running back situation I thought was something because defensively, like, it's hard to tell anything, you know, they're not really doing a whole lot. So, probably the running backs was probably the most interesting facet of the spring game for me.
I think Jeff Carr is going to play a decent amount. And here's why. I forgot who wrote. I think Hayden might've written this, but I think that Gundy trusts him, you know, like he's been in the program for a while. And remember when Gundy talked about him, like when he was, recruited, he acted like he was like the next, Jamal Charles or something. He's like, oh,
next,
yeah.
Joe Randall.
Got this guy out at Temple. He's like, I think he compared him to like Barry Sanders. You're like, oh my gosh, like settle down. but I think he trusts him just because he's been in the program for 3 years now. And he doesn't, it might've been Robert Allen that wrote this. He doesn't fumble. He takes care of the ball, you know, all the stuff that Gundy just worships when it comes to offensive play. So I don't know. It's going to be, I think the backup running back situation is maybe more intriguing than the backup quarterback, just because those are the guys that, I mean, you'll see the backup running back play, hopefully, knock on wood, fingers crossed, more than the backup quarterback throughout the season. And, you know, especially with Justice Hill having surgery, I feel like we're kind of overlooking that. Like, oh, he'll be fine. It's like, well, I hope so, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the backup running back is a big deal, and I think the fall race for who gets it is going to be super interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Who are the candidates? You got Jeff Carr, L.D. Brown.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard is a freshman coming in.
I liked him.
The Canadian Rocket.
Mm-hmm. They might play him a little slot. Of course, there's not much time to go around receiver. Forget that.
J.D. King is the kid out of Georgia that Arroyo.
Maybe that's who I was thinking of. They could clean like 380.
Yeah, that was it.
LD, JD, I got confused.
Yeah. Well, LD is also LaDarren, I believe is his actual name, LaDarren Brown. Okay. And then there's, I don't know, I can't remember all of them, but those are the primary candidates.
Another thing that fascinated me, Kyle, was that Gundy had come out and said that they're going to still run the Walsh package. So they're trying to figure out who's going to do that. And I haven't seen Woodte play 5 seconds. But it almost feels like they're forcing that. Walsh was really good at it. Like, it feels like they're almost forcing someone to do something that they're not necessarily built to do just for the sake of having that package. That would be my concern.
I think that's a little bit of misdirection. I mean, if we think about this logically, you're at Pitt, third week of the season. You're down 7 in the third quarter. You got a redshirt freshman. You're going to roll him out there? Like, big moment.
You're gonna take Mason Rudolph off the field.
Yeah, you're gonna roll a redshirt freshman out there to run, you know, 3rd and 2 on the 50. Like, I'll believe that when I see it, you know.
Hey, they did it last year. Fourth and goal, yeah. Central Michigan, true freshman Dylan Stoner in at quarterback.
Yeah. He got buried, and rightfully so. That was insane. That was insane that they did that.
Yeah, he flipped it to Washington, who scored easily, so it was a good play. But just the fact that they put a true freshman at quarterback, as a wide receiver, no less, was startling, even in the moment. But yeah, you're right. It got totally buried and forgotten about. But that's how much confidence they had in Dylan Stoner. Like, here you go. Snap the ball and don't fumble it.
Oh, by the way, he's like the 7th best receiver on this team.
They love them some Dylan Stoner, though.
Yeah, they do. Did you and I talk about the transfers
for basketball?
No. The Clemson kid, Baker, and then,
we did. I think we did.
I don't know if we did. Okay.
Because we talked about just massive the dude from Cal is. He's like 6'8", 50.
That's a big deal. I mean, getting those two guys.
Oh, the two biggest question marks on the team.
Yeah.
I mean. And hadn't the Baker kid beaten OU as many times as Gundy? Did we talk about that? He got 2 wins over OU. Did he start in the championship game in 2015? I haven't read up on him, but
he
was hurt last year, but I think he played in the title game they lost.
I think he played. I don't know if they I don't know if he started.
Well, he played. That's a big improvement on what they got. So
yes, which is zero experience. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about that? Like, I feel like everybody's like, oh, they're going to score 100 a game, and fine, whatever. As we've seen, you got to get stops to win football and basketball games. And I'm legit concerned about them not being able to get stops.
Yeah, you should be. That's the story of Oklahoma State football. I thought the defense was a little disappointing down the stretch, considering, you know, how much talent we thought they had on the defensive line and everything, the experience they had. But you go back and look, Kyle, they only gave up, I think, 40 points once. I think they held everyone to in the 30s, which I know is nothing to like throw a parade about. But
defense
did pretty well at times last year. So I would be concerned mainly just about the cornerbacks because it's the Big 12. I mean, people are throwing it all over the place. But it does help that Mahomes is gone. Kenny Hill, I guess, is the quarterback of TCU still.
Kenny Trill.
Texas is searching for answers. So it's you're not going to get, like, in theory, you're not going to get just totally exposed like you would against, like, a Baker Mayfield every single week.
Yes, in theory.
So I'm worried, but not, you know. I think the quarterback play won't be as good. Is that fair?
I think it's going to be pretty good.
West Virginia likes that transfer they have. He had a big spring game.
Are you ready for just the deluge of Texas is back articles over the next 3 months? Texas is 2 players away. Texas could win the Big 12 if they get a linebacker on D. I don't know what position they need, but are you ready for that?
As ready as I was last year when they beat Notre Dame. Like, I remember they, like, SportsCenter, ESPN tweeted out, Texas is back with the swoops scoring the touchdown.
Yeah. That was, I mean, to be fair, that was a cool moment.
Oh, it was awesome. But they went back to earth real quick. But yeah. I do think Tom Herman knows what he's doing. Now, whether he can do it at Texas remains to be seen, because I thought Charlie Strong was a good coach, too. Maybe there's just some things going on at Texas that makes it a little more difficult to win than other places. But we were talking about this. Like, who's the last, like, Texas wide receiver you remember?
Probably one of the 11 Shipleys that played there.
I guess, yeah. Jackson, maybe.
Roy Williams.
Yeah, like, you got to go, like, they need to just recruit whoever OSU is recruiting at wide receiver.
That's a great point. It is weird. It's like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question, to be honest.
Like, I think we've seen that. Didn't OSU just offer a kid who, like, tore his ACL, and then, like, hours later he got, like, 7 offers from other teams? Just
yeah, that happens all the time, though, because – and that's the thing about the new – I don't know if you've seen the new recruiting rules, but there's a new December signing period that I think will ultimately help schools like Oklahoma State that get just – rated at the very end of the recruiting cycle by the Texas and the Texas A&Ms, and because who wouldn't want to go to Texas? Who wouldn't want to go play? I mean, it's a legit thing, and I don't know. I think that earlier signing period, I wish it was even earlier for the sake of Oklahoma State. If it was in, you know, August of your senior year, or July of your senior, or going into your senior year, that would be outstanding, because Oklahoma State could lock up the guys that they had targeted early and not worry about the OUs and the Texases of the world, you know, jumping in at the last second.
Yeah, it's ideal. I'm glad they're doing that. And plus, too, like, people, like, the big guys don't really wait anymore. They're already committed for, like, months on end. So, like, just get it over with so everyone can move on. And yeah, it really helps a school like Oklahoma State, like you mentioned. From, you know, the Ryan Broyles situation coming into play. You know, he's committed to OSU, and at the last second, OU makes a run, and he ends up being the best receiver to ever play there.
Yeah. I was looking up Texas receivers. They have not had a 500-yard receiver in the last 2 years.
Not a 500?
No.
Forget about 1,000.
Not a 500.
Yeah, like, for some reason, Texas hasn't had any skill players at all. They had Dante Foreman last year. I'll give him that. But as far as, like, receivers, my goodness.
John Harris had 1,000 yards in 2014. I don't remember him.
Mike Davis was pretty good.
Mike Davis had 940 yards in 2012.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Jackson Shipley, Marquise Goodwin. I don't know if that's an offensive problem or a recruiting receiver. I can't believe that it would be a recruiting athlete's problem. It's a great question, though. Okay, we need to talk about uniforms. Let's get to this week's uniform review, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. I talked a little bit about uniforms in the Tuesday podcast, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what Oklahoma State wore for the spring game, and just if you think they're going to have any new wrinkles for the upcoming anything that's different for the upcoming season, not than what we saw at the spring game, but from what they had last year.
It was like going back in time, wasn't it? I felt like I was watching the 2011 spring game.
I did.
It's like seeing an old friend. Hey, gray jerseys with orange numbers, where have you been? Where in the bowels of Boone Pickens have those things been sitting? I thought it was an interesting thing. Was it orange versus black?
Yeah.
And then the quarterbacks had the gray jersey.
Yes. Yeah.
It was clean. I missed it. They were clearly going to go white helmets, white pants. Like, that's a given. I don't know why I didn't predict that, but I thought it was clean, sharp. But I thought it was more nostalgic for me than anything to see the old 2011 uniforms. But as far as next year, I don't think they'll change a whole lot as far as the uniform. The uniforms will be the same, I would guess, just wear different combinations. But they've proven the helmets will be changing and that they're going to keep throwing new things in, which I think is exciting. The barbed wire clearly is not going away. They are very proud of the barbed wire helmet. But I think they'll have a few more wrinkles. I expect to see much more of the badge. The badge is everywhere. It's on the rings now, Kyle.
I know.
On the Fiesta, or the Fiesta Bowl, on the I'm still in 2011, on the Alamo Bowl rings, the badge is appearing. It's the badge is everywhere, Kyle. You got to embrace it.
I know. I need to. Sorry, I went down a Texas wide receiver rabbit hole. Do you remember Linus Swede?
Yeah.
He had like 800 yards in like 2006.
played with Vince.
Yeah. He's a high school teacher and coach now in Kyle, Texas, it looks like. I'm Googling Lima Swede. I'm deep in Texas history. But
get out of there.
The badge is everywhere. It's not an abomination, but it's not the thing that I'm obviously most excited about. I ride with your dad when it comes to the badge and the brand. I think I've made my feelings on that clear. But yeah, I think that I really like the way that Oklahoma State has set themselves up uniform-wise for the future, where you can change helmets and you can keep everything pretty fresh. I wish the barbed wire was not there, but I think it's going to be a fun uni season. I love it in terms of, like, you know, just material for the blog. Like, they change uniforms a lot, they change helmets a lot. I think that stuff is, I mean, we talk about it probably a little too much, but I think it's fun and it's part of what makes college football great, I feel like.
Well, and you're looking forward to Saturday, obviously, for the game, but it's also, you know, a lot of us, you and me included, are excited to see what they're going to wear. What if they're going to wear something new, something old, what they're going to do. So it's blue.
Well, something borrowed, something blue. It sounded like you were going.
No, I wasn't going that way.
Okay, I want to talk to you about something that Colin Cowherd said on FS1. But first, I believe this is called a tease in the business. Let's hear from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit, one more time. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head to toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Carson, Colin Cowherd is saying that your beloved USC Trojans are going to win it all or play for the title. I don't think he said they're going to win it all. And he's also predicting Oklahoma State to make the 4-team playoff. Is this what was your reaction to seeing that?
My beloved USC? That's the second time you've referred to them as that.
Because you ranted about them last year when they had three losses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. USC, get out of here. They had three losses. Whatever. I was surprised, Kyle. I mean, you and I both agree they're going to be loaded on offense, OSU. The school in Norman still has Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the surprising thing. I think Oklahoma is going to be an overwhelming favorite to win the Big 12, despite how good OSU is, because Mike Gundy's got to beat him twice.
I know.
Actually, I guess he only has to beat him once. If he loses to him in the regular season, he can beat him in the championship game. But at that point, are they putting OSU in the playoff? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find three loss USC to put in. But, no, I was surprised that, you know, because Oklahoma State's not a school that people in the preseason ever go out on a limb for. So it was surprising. Cowherd's obviously done his research. He didn't talk a whole lot in the clip that I saw about OSU, but obviously he knows they have James Washington, Mason Rudolph, and just how loaded they are. And he probably looked at the fact they get OU at home. So
yeah,
it's not totally like unreasonable. It surprised me that he did.
Well, and I was on the Sports Animal earlier this week, and they asked me what I thought about it. And I just said, like, you know, if you're going to pick a year for Oklahoma State the playoffs, you want to pick an odd numbered year because you get the Baylor, the TCU, and the OU at home. You know, like you still have to go to Texas and you got to go to West Virginia, but it's just an easier schedule than the even numbered year. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't. By the way, while I'm still thinking about it, who was the analyst that kept bringing up USC that you just lost your mind about? Was it Herbstreit?
Might have been.
There was somebody that kept bringing them up.
And it was like they had that show, the playoff show.
Yeah, yeah, but there was like one person.
Like the whole panel. Like, I don't know. I'll have to Twitter search my name and USC and see what pops up. But no, it was just – they didn't even – like this is when OSU was like there. They were right there. And they didn't even like – they were talking about three-loss USC, how they deserved a shot.
What do you think – this was another thing that we kind of talked about this week. But what do you think Mason Rudolph has to do to get to New York?
Win the Big 12.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. But I think, you know, obviously – do what he did last year as far as the limiting the interceptions. And I think we all can agree he's probably going to throw a bunch of touchdowns. He doesn't have the Walsh thing anymore. He's the guy. He ran a few touchdowns last year. That was the most surprising thing about last year, Kyle, was
yeah.
Mason Rudolph has some wheels. He did pretty well.
I loved it.
So I searched all my tweets. And yeah, you held your breath and liked it at the same time. I'm looking up my old tweets with USC, and it's pretty funny. I haven't called anyone out specifically. It's only a 30-minute show, so we have to cut down the USC talk. Apparently, USC is on par with Alabama all of a sudden.
I love the college football playoff show. It's so great. It's so unintentionally funny. Did we cover everything? Mike Boynton doing a little bit of work recruiting. That's been
yeah, recruiting, isn't he?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think we were obviously all fairly. I mean this like we were fair in our criticism of him as the initial hire, but I think he's done a good job so far. Yet Michael Weathers to transfer is the MAC freshman of the year. They're looking at a graduate transfer from Cal State Northridge. I think I don't know. You can't judge a coach based on 2 months of recruiting, but I feel like he's doing a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, the most positive thing for me, obviously, the Weathers kid looks really good. Obviously, yeah. he won't be able to play this year, but you'll have a roster spot for him, I would think, after next season. So he's out doing what he's supposed to do, Kyle. That's hit the recruiting trail. And I think it's interesting that he's offering, you know, some kids that are pretty highly rated.
Yeah,
and it seems as if the interest is becoming mutual. So that's encouraging, and that's going to be the lifeblood of the Mike Boynton tenures. How well can he recruit? Because he's obviously very inexperienced as a coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun to keep up with over the summer and into the fall. So I think we hit on everything. Is there anything we missed?
Are OSU uniforms, are they switching? I guess they're still switching because I reported that when they introduced Boynton. But there was a little conversation about it on the Slack chat. There's rumors of Jordan brand, which yeah. I think are just rumors. They're a Nike school.
Yeah, I don't know how all of that works because I don't know what the affiliation is between Jordan and Nike. Obviously, Nike started the Jordan brand, but I think it's its own entity now. And yeah. The Jordan brand has some weird sponsorships though. It's like Cal and Marquette. And I don't know, like, I don't really understand like why it does the things that it does or how it is associated with Nike in terms of contract, you know, like the way schools are contracted and everything. But I'm in on that. Bring me all the Jordan gear.
I think it's a little overrated.
Wow.
Jordan gear.
Really?
Is that a hot take? I like the swoosh better. I like the Nike gear better than the Jordan shoes and everything.
I was getting ready to bring up the shoes. So you like the Nike like team branded shoes better than the Jordans
and the uniforms first and foremost.
Okay.
But, no, like I think right now they have the best of both worlds. They're Nike, but like Juwan Evans is out there wearing like the old school Jordans that he wore in like the 98 finals, you know, so you can do both.
Yeah. And is Markel going to be supplying Jordans to the team?
Maybe. Like, that's the thing. It's weird. I like the old Jordans, the one that he wore, but, like, the new ones that are just, like, team-colored and whatever, some of them aren't that cool, but...
Yeah.
I'm no sneakerhead, so what do I know?
I think that's a fair take. some of the new LeBrons aren't that cool either, though. Like,
I don't think I've liked one LeBron shoe.
Yeah, I don't really understand. And then, like, the Currys are bad. Like, KD has a good shoe. I feel like
Kyrie's are weird.
Kobe had a good shoe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just Maybe we're too old. Maybe we're
too old. Yeah. We're two old men on a park bench being curmudgeons.
Okay, Carson, enjoy Rockets Thunder. Tell Westbrook that I still think he's the MVP, and okay. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully the Thunder win two games, because I don't want to drive back to Houston if they've only won one, yeah. Knowing the inevitable is happening.
That's not fun.
Next time we talk, I might be in Houston or I might be making my way back from Houston. So looking forward to it.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Bye.